In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, in your providence you chose your servant Patrick to be the apostle to the Irish people, to bring those who were wandering in darkness and error to the true light and knowledge of you. Grant us so to walk in that way that we may come at last to the light of everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for Utica is from the book of Genesis, the 22nd chapter. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, and saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose, and went to the place of which God had told him. Then, on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. Then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand upon the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. This is the word of the Lord. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. Teach me to do your will. He delivers me from my enemies. You have delivered me from the violent man. The epistle is from the letter to the Hebrews, the 9th chapter. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason he is the mediator of the new covenant, by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore you do not hear, because you are not of God." Then the Jews answered and said to him, "Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." Then the Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? And the prophets are dead. Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say, I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Then the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
My song is love unknown, my Savior's love to me, love to the loveless shown that they might lovely be. Oh, who am I that for my sake my Lord should take frail flesh and die? He came from his blessed throne, salvation to bestow, but men made strange and none the longed for Christ would know. But, oh, my friend indeed, who at my need his life did spend. Sometimes they strew his way, and his sweet praises sing, resounding all the day, hosannas to their King. Then crucify is all their breath, and for his death they thirst and cry. Why, what hath my Lord done? What makes this rage and spite? He made the lame to run, he gave the blind their sight. Sweet injuries, yet they at these themselves displease and against him rise. They rise and needs will have my dear Lord made away. A murderer they save, the Prince of Life they slay. Yet cheerful he to suffering goes, that he his foes from thence might free. In life no house, no home, my Lord on earth might have. In death no friendly tomb, but what a stranger gave. What may I say? Heaven was his home, but mine the tomb wherein he lay. Here might I stay and sing, no story so divine. Never was love, dear King, never was grief like thine. This is my friend, in whose sweet praise I all my days could gladly spend.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Then the Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And you say, 'If anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death.' Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? And the prophets are dead. Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." This is the word of the Lord. Obviously, the answer to the question is yes. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? Yes. Amen. The Pharisees assume that Jesus will be forced to concede the match of wits, yet the truth is the truth, and I am is truth. Jesus has always been greater than Abraham, and he always will be. He is I am. He is the God who gave to Abraham the promise he and his wife believed. He is the word of that promise. He is the God who appeared to Abraham, broke bread with him, and blessed him. He is the God who tested Abraham in order that Abraham might know him. He is the Son promised to Abraham, the blessing promised to Abraham, the very promise promised to Abraham. Therefore, you begin to see, as Jesus knows and these Jews refuse, that the promise made to Abraham is more than skin deep and more broad than any bloodline. The promise penetrates into the depths of the flesh of man, because this promise is not about a couple's desire for a son, but for creation's desire for the Son. The promise that is the very word of God penetrates through the skin of man and into his very flesh and blood and bones and marrow, being born of a virgin, yet without the sin of his father and his creature, Adam. The promise is about salvation, about the victory of life over death in death over life. It is about the Father glorifying the Son and the Son raising up the dead. Jesus says that Abraham had seen the day of the Lord. Abraham indeed saw, not with eyes of flesh, but with the eyes of faith. Indeed, Moses records that this faith of Abraham was counted to him as righteousness. The test upon Mount Moriah opened these eyes that Abraham would understand the fullness of the promise given to him by Christ, the tangible reminder of which was his very son, Isaac. Upon the Mount of Sacrifice, a great reality is revealed to Abraham. The promise made to him is far greater than a son or an heir, though it is at least that much. However, when God tells Abraham, "I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you," he refers to much more. Isaac is the child of the promise. He is the sign of the covenant marked with blood between God and Abraham, a covenant struck wherein Abraham and his descendants are entirely the beneficiaries and God entirely the benefactor. Through Isaac come kings and nations. Yet also through Isaac comes the king of all nations. Abraham understands not why God demands he sacrifice Isaac, his only son. But he does not need to understand. And that much he does understand. For faith simply agrees with God and confesses Amen to his commands. Indeed, as Christ says, he who is of God hears God's words. The only thing that Abraham knows is that God has promised that this child shall live and that God will provide for the sacrifice. With his eyes, he then beholds the day of the Lord. God stops Abraham from sacrificing his own son and provides himself a lamb for the offering. In this revelation, the truth is revealed to Abraham. He sees the day of Christ and he understands the test. His faith is confirmed and strengthened in the promise of the seed of the woman made long before in the garden. Where Abraham is stopped from sacrificing his son, God the Father has no such luxury. Abraham understands this promise. Where Abraham receives a lamb of sacrifice from God, God himself must be the lamb of sacrifice for sins. Years later, this man, Jesus of Nazareth, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, ascends Mount Moriah with his Father, led by the Spirit. There, the Father offers up his own Son. God has provided the lamb for the offering. In that lamb that is Christ, none do taste death, neither Abraham nor the prophets, neither martyrs nor loved ones whose illnesses, accidents, or natural lives bring about their slumber. None taste death though they die, because the day of the Lord has come in the person of Christ. Abraham understood that and rejoiced. For this salvation means the resurrection from the dead. It means that death is defeated, that Satan is relegated to a steely cage, and that life is the only option for those who abide in Christ. You shall never taste death, because death has already tasted of life, which is, to death, the most deadly of poisons. The promise made to Abraham must then be more than lineage. It must be more broad than bloodline. Christ is greater than Abraham. Christ is greater than Isaac. He is the promise to Abraham, not a promise of lineage or of pedigree, but of blood. Even so, neither the blood of man nor of beast could fulfill the nature of this promise. It is not about you. It is not about your ability to fulfill a covenant that was never yours to fulfill. It is not about your father Abraham, your father Moses, your fathers, the prophets, or even your father, Adam. It is about your heavenly Father. It is about this Father providing his Son as the eternal Lamb of the sacrifice. It is about the forgiveness of sins and the life which necessarily accompanies it. It is about Christ and him crucified for you as the fulfillment of this covenant of God. Christ says, "Most assuredly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." Keep this word, dear Christians, not a word of command or of demand, but a gospel word of promise in the very flesh. Keep this word. Cling to him in faith. Walk the way of his life, and by it shun your father the devil. You cannot claim to love God the Father and despise his word, for Christ himself says, I and my Father are one. Again he says, he who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Therefore, the call to faith is the call to let Jesus love you so that you can learn to love him. And in loving Jesus, you can also learn to give your sins up to him and to seek him and from him the mercies of God, which are made tangible. For you are not covered by the blood of bulls and goats, and even by the blood of Abraham. You are covered by the blood of the covenant, by the blood of Christ. If the blood of bulls, goats, heifers, and the like sanctified the flesh in days of old, how much more will this blood of the living God so purify both the flesh and the soul from sin and every error? How much more will it purge you from all that is unclean within you, all that is demonic about you, all that is blasphemous from you, and fill you instead with the Spirit of Christ himself? See what Abraham saw, and believe yourselves. See the Lamb of God caught up in the thicket of promise and the new covenant and thorns and nails. See the sacrifice offered where you ought to have been. See the innocent die for you to the glory of the Heavenly Father. See the God of your salvation, who is I Am, who is greater than Abraham, who is the life of all the living and the death of death our foe. See and rejoice, as did your father Abraham. See and believe that the hand of judgment against you has been stayed in the day of the Lord, the glorious death of Christ. See, rejoice, believe, and keep, that you might never taste death, but be made in Christ to be greater than Abraham was yourselves. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Amen. Let us pray for the whole Church of God and our Lord Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. For the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church throughout the world, that the Lord would continue to bless, grow, and extend his apostolic office, that the blessings of strength, endurance, perseverance, courage, and steadfastness be given to all bishops, pastors, chaplains of the armed forces, and missionaries, both domestic and abroad. Let us pray to the Lord. For all Christian peoples, for strength of confession, resolve of will, rigidity of faith, and purity of life, for true penitence amidst the great Lenten fast, for Christian households as sacred refuge from the world, for all Christian marriages as icons of divine love, and for Christian youth, both young and old, that they would remain firmly grounded upon the rock of their faith's foundation and not be swept away by the current of the age. Let us pray to the Lord. For the nations of the world, for their people and for their rulers, for upstanding leaders of good character and wisdom, who honor and who submit to the word of God, for peace and concord, for an end to violence, warfare, and strife, for the destruction of evil and evil intent, and for the preservation of justice, the defense of the innocent, and the right esteem for the sanctity of human life, let us pray to the Lord. for the Father's unfailing mercy upon those in anguish, those suffering with depression, those broken in heart and spirit, those struggling with addiction, those who fear, those who suffer, the unemployed, the destitute, and all the needy of this world, and that God would send his holy angels to defend his people against every assault of the wicked foe, let us pray to the Lord. For the cross of Christ to be the glory of man, that the people of God would bear their crosses and follow their Lord down the Via Dolorosa to the Mount of Sacrifice. For all poor, miserable sinners, especially the apostate and the pagan, that they may be made white in the blood of God and be made heirs to salvation and life everlasting. Let us pray to the Lord. For the healing of the great physician upon all the infirmities of man, granting an end to disease and health to the sick, that the Lord would look especially upon our brethren Shannon, Gail, Wilma, Larry, John, Angela, Audrey, Nancy, and J.R. For peace to the dying, comfort to the bereaved, and everlasting peace to all servants and handmaidens who now rest in Christ, let us pray to the Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, you are truly the Son of the living God. Have mercy upon us, we pray, that guided and defended by your mighty arm, we may be delivered from all demons, idols, perversions, and wickedness. Though we have deserved the wrath of the Father, we pray you to take away our sins and to look upon them no longer. Preserve us from all error, from all strife, from all sin, and from sudden and evil death. Grant unto us true faith, that in our wilderness of sin we may find aid and succor in you, the only Word made flesh that proceeds from the mouth of the Father, the true bread of life that comes down from heaven. May we, in humility and love, find at your cross the mercy seat of God's altar, and in your flesh and blood the source of all our life and living, even as you now reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.